Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Steve Kenyon Podcast. I'm Steve Kenyon, and it's so nice to have you with us on a big week in the world of professional rodeo. The Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame has recognized its class of inductees for 2024. The induction ceremonies will take place on July the 13th in Colorado Springs during the Pikes Peak or Bust Rodeos presentation of the NFR Open in Colorado Springs. ProRodeo.com's got the complete story along with WPRA.com of this year's class of inductees, which includes four world champions. Probably the headliner of the group, Casey Field. He retired at the end of the 2023 rodeo season, finished 16th in the world standings last year, just missing a trip back to the Wrangler National Finals rodeo. The six-time world champions won more money than any bareback rider in history, more go-rounds at the NFR, and of course, more gold buckles. And when asked about his reaction to his induction into the Hall of Fame, Casey Field, of course, talked about his late great father, also in the Hall of Fame, Louis Field.
Yeah, first thing that comes to mind, it's awfully fast. I'm kind of surprised, but what an amazing honor. I instantly think of my display being right there next to my late father, Louis Field. You know, a guy I really looked up to, my hero, and to look back on my career and now to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. It's a goal that you don't really have control of, but at the same time, it's in the back of your mind that if you accomplish your goal, that you can cross that goal off someday, and it's a big win for me. I was blessed with a great traveling partner and a support system that not a lot of people have, and I guess that's kind of what it boils down to.
Casey, this is Steve Kenyon. Congratulations. So who's going to be more excited, your mom, your wife, or Tilden, when you share this news with him?
I'm pretty sure it will be my wife. She's seen everything that went on and on the back scenes and when I was home and when I got hurt and was it have to be home. You know, she was there waking me up and changing my bandages or helping me go to the bathroom or whatever it needs be, where Tilden, my brother, my mom, they're for dang sure going to be excited and very proud of me. But my wife, this will be a big win for her also. She's going to be extremely happy.
When you made the decision to retire at the end of 2023, and now you find out you're going into the Hall of Fame, does this kind of complete the circle for you?
It does. It just kind of, you know, I get asked all the time if I'm ever going to get on again or if I'm ever going to come out of retirement. And to me, if you come out of retirement and then you retire again, your first retirement just kind of says you're a quitter. And I don't have any desire to come back and do it again. And this will just help my conversation a little more. Yeah, I'm definitely done.
The numbers say Casey Field is the GOAT. The greatest of all time. More go-round wins at the NFR, more money, more world titles than any bareback rider in pro rodeo history. And now he is headed into the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame. The induction ceremonies will be on July the 13th. The rest of this year's class of inductees, Casey might be the most recent world champion going into the Hall of Fame, but the most, the longest wait, let's put it that way. 1968 Rodeo Cowboys Association World Champion Team Roper Art Arnold from Arizona. He's headed into the hall, along with the late Bluestone, the 2001 and 2002 World Champion Bull Rider. You might remember that Blue won the average both of those years, the only two times he qualified for the NFR, and he left both times with a gold buckle. Rodeo stock contractor Sammy Andrews headed into the Hall of Fame. I asked him for his reaction.
It's kind of unbelievable. It's something you've always dreamed about, but you never thought would happen, so it was quite an honor.
Sammy Andrews is our featured guest on this week's Legends of the Hall podcast. Please like and subscribe at 8secondsmedia.com. The rest of the Hall of Fame class, bullfighter Daryl Diefenbach, the Thunder from Down Under, the Australian who was selected to work the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo 12 straight times. Notable J.D. Yates, he made the NFR as a team roping header and healer, 21 total trips, 11 stops at the National Finals steer roping. The great bull Mr. T of the Burns Rodeo Company, 1986 PRCA Bull of the Year, the Rodeo Committee from Fort Madison, Iowa, and barrel racers, 1974 world champion Gina Day and 1983 world champion Marlene McRae. Our classic equine classic ropes featured interview of the week is with Marlene McRae. That's coming up in just a few minutes from now. The Ken Stemler Pioneer Award for 2024, recognizing those who provided groundbreaking, innovative ideas and forward thinking, goes to PRCA announcer, Bob Feist Invitational Team Roping founder, and Roper Sports News founder, Bob Feist. Bob's been a contestant. He announced the National Finals Steer Roping in 1979 and the 1980 National Finals Rodeo. And congratulations to Bob and all of this year's class of inductees to the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame. Coming up, we will talk to Marlene McRae about her induction into the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame, courtesy of our friends at Classic Equine and Classic Ropes. Today's edition of the Steve Kenyon podcast is being sponsored by Equiniti. It's all about the horse. Log on to teamequiniti.com. By Unbeatable Feeds. You'll find them online at unbeatablefeeds.com. Check out the forage-only feeds. It is sweeping the country. Thanks to M2 Ranch Jerky, coming soon. True traditional cowboy jerky. The Grandview at Las Vegas. The place we stay during the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo. To Next Gen Rodeo. And to Classic Equine. Play to win. We are Classic Equine and Classic Ropes. Success is in your hand. We're coming back with Marlene McRae on the Steve Kenyon Podcast.
Hey y'all, this is Cody Johnson. When I was starting out in music, most every radio station and venue I went to told me no. At that point, you got two options: tuck tail and quit, or buckle down and fight. Well, I'm a fighter, not a quitter. And that's why I wear Wrangler jeans and shirts. Their toughness and style are legendary. They're an iconic symbol of the West, and there's no quit in them either. Life's not about the destination, it's about the journey. And if I'm gonna enjoy the ride, I'm riding in Wrangler. Wrangler, long live cowboys.
G'day. My name's Guy McLean, Australian horseman, international entertainer, and big believer in Preferred equine equipment. They consider the safety of you and your horse in every piece of equipment they build. Whether it's fencing, round pens, feeders, or stalls, Preferred offers quality equipment you can rely on. For more information on all of the great Preferred equine products, visit them on the web at preferred.com.
There's no pretending to being a cowboy. Either you are or you aren't. Which is why everything we do as a company improves or preserves this way of life. The romance, the honesty, the toughness, the craft. More cowboys, please. America could use them. Resist All. We live it every day.
For 145 years, Justin has crafted boots tailored for life in the dirt, accompanying your every step with reliability and quality. Whether in the arena lights or long days on the job, our boots are an integral part of your team. With a storied history, our boots echo through generations, connecting the past, present, and ensuring the same quality that we built our name on. Find your boots at justinboots.com.
The Steve Kenyon Podcast is being sponsored by the Grandview at Las Vegas. If you're going to Las Vegas for the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo or anytime, think about the Grandview, dailymanagementresorts.com. And a big thank you to the folks at Classic Equine. Play to win. We are Classic Equine. And to Classic Rope, success is in your hand. To the Gooding Pro Rodeo in Gooding, Idaho, August 14th through the 17th. Do you have what it takes to be beer worthy? Come join us in Gooding, goodingprorodeo.com. Today's Classic Equine Classic Ropes featured interview is with Marlene McRae. She won a gold buckle in 1983, her first ever Wrangler National Finals Rodeo in Oklahoma City. She qualified again for the national finals 9 more times, including the year 2000, her final trip to the NFR. Of course, Marlene competed in an era of some of the greatest barrel racing talent of all time. She won a world title in 1983. In 1984, Charmaine James started her amazing run. She won a gold medal at the Olympics with Martha Josey and Charmaine sharing the podium with her in Calgary, Alberta, Canada as the silver and bronze medalists. She had us an amazing story to tell, and we get to tell it now as we visit with Marlene McRae. The Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame has announced its class of inductees for 2024, and among them, the WPRA has selected two world champions, Gina Day, who won a gold buckle in the 1970s, and Marlene McRae, who won a gold buckle in the 1980s, and Marlene joins us. And Marlene, first of all, congratulations. On Eclipse Monday, a bunch of people got the phone call. I think you got that phone call ahead of time, but tell me about your reaction when you found out that you were going into the Hall of Fame.
Well, it was exciting, of course. It was the farthest thing from my mind at that moment. Had a lot of things going on. And when Jimmy called, I thought she was just calling to check up on my husband. And she's like, I got some exciting news. And it was, then it hit me what she was going to tell me. And it was very special that Jimmy told me, because she's been someone I've really looked up to for a lot of years.
Yeah, Jimmy's been she's been a great contributor and a great friend to the WPRA, and it's always interesting to hear the reaction of people who, especially after they're, you know, maybe retired and not competing and those kinds of things, they get a phone call from one of those 719 numbers in Colorado, or in Jimmy's case, Jimmy's phone number, and they say, okay, what happened? Do I have an old fine? What's the deal? It's got to be, you know, you look back on that career, I think it's a very well-deserved induction, Marlene, I have to say.
Well, I appreciate that. And it is the icing on the cake. You know, your career goes along and there's lots of accolades that you want to fill, lots of positions. And this was the last one that I was hoping someday I'd have the honor to be in the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame.
Written by Ann Bleicher on WPRA.com, McRae's Hall of Fame career inside the arena consisted of qualifying for the NFR 10 times, beginning in 1983, the last time in 2000. So you got to barrel race both in Colorado Springs, Oklahoma City, I should say, and in Las Vegas. Won a world title in 1903, won the average at the NFR in 83 and 88. Finishes a reserve world champion behind Charmaine James 3 times. That's a pretty impressive resume. Talk a little bit about the first time you made it to the National Finals Rodeo, which was 1983, and walking away with a world title.
Well, it was a surprise because those were not my intentions at that point. I had a new horse that I had trained, and he was very, very green going into Denver, the first rodeo of the season. And he just kept escalating and getting better and better as the year went on. And I was also going to a lot of quarter horse shows. My whole intentions in 1983 was just to season this horse and get him rodeo ready and really go hard in 84. But he changed my mind. He just kept getting better and more solid. And I remember the last rodeo was Raleigh, California, so I could win the Dodge truck. I went into the NFR in second place behind Sherry Elms. And I just was there to basically finish off a year and had a seasoned horse at that point. Really didn't know that I could possibly win the world, because Sherry had a phenomenal individual. But Dutch just kept firing away, and I ran the fastest time, the 10th go around, and cinched the world title. And it was a total shock. It was just not in my mindset at the beginning of the year, but I had to put it in my mindset at the end of the year.
Was Dutch was a Tiny Watch, wasn't he? Am I right in that?
He was a son of Tiny Watch, and Tiny Watch was a 2-time world champion running horse. And Dutch, they ran on the track as a 2-year-old. Then they took him off of the track and put him in the Reno Snaffle Bit Futurity as a 3-year-old.
Really?
And he out of 900 head, he won 10th. And on the track, he was AAA. I mean, he was never a slouch at anything you ever ask him to do. Then I bought him when he was 7, I believe. And in the later like maybe October, November of his 7-year-old year, and just really started him on the barrels. Obviously, he could run. Obviously, he was really, really well broke. He was a coyote on the ground. He was not easy to be around on the ground. He was a pistol. And he just kept excelling in the barrel racing. And it's kind of an interesting story because of his background of being able to do all those events. And then when I retired him in 1992, after I won Salinas on him, my husband needed a calf horse. And I said, well, I've always breakawayed on Dutch or heeled on him. Why don't you try him? So he roped calves on him for 6 months, just at the local PRCA rodeos in Colorado. And the horse was phenomenal.
I'll be darned. There wasn't much he couldn't do, from the racetrack to snaffle bit to barrel horses,
yeah,
to reining horses.
It's not just reining.
Yeah. That's about as broad as I knew about. I've known a lot of people that were running tiny, and we knew a lot of people who were running tiny watch horses at that time, but I did not know about all the diversity in Dutch's background.
Yeah, a lot of people don't. It's pretty interesting.
Did you kind of stick with that bloodline throughout the course of your career? Remind me of who you like to run.
Well, you know, you always try to ride what you know, find what you've been riding, but they were far and few between. They were an old bloodline and there were not many of them around. And so I kind of just went to form to function. I would look for horses that had lots of conformation that I thought looked like Dutch watch and that size. He stood 14'3", 15 hands right in there somewhere. And I just always went to looking for that form to function where they had the makings to do anything you wanted to do on them.
Five-time Calgary champion, most of any WPRA barrel racer. One, I love the photograph on the WPRA's article of you, Martha, and Charmaine standing on the platform at the Olympic Games, an Olympic gold medalist. You're unique in that opportunity to have the chance to claim an Olympic gold medal.
It was one of the top two most exciting events I've ever been to. And Dutch was on fire. I don't know why. He loved Calgary. It didn't matter if we were indoors or outdoors. And he won 6 out of the 7 rounds. And the one round he didn't win, I rode my backup horse just to give him a rest. And he was just on fire. And when they lead you out onto that big stage to present your gold medal or your medals, it's an unbelievable feeling.
You say that was one of the two most exciting events you'd ever been involved with. What was the other one?
Winning the world in Oklahoma City.
Yeah. Oklahoma City to Las Vegas. How big a transition was that for barrel racers who had a chance to compete at both and in both arenas?
You know, for me, it was not a big deal. Dutch was probably a little stronger in smaller patterns. That's why I rodeoed in Canada a lot. He could basically stand on an ice rink and then, you know, we were running on ice rinks. And he was just really good in those environments. So I had a lot of confidence in him going in. And I think I made 77 runs before I ever hit a barrel on him.
I'll be darned.
In fact, I know I did, yeah.
You know, we talked
and he was hurt.
We talked a lot about that with Jordan Briggs and her horse when she won the world in 2021. She made it through the entire season. And I was trying to remember if there had ever been a barrel racer who had gone through a whole year and not hit a barrel.
Yeah, well, I think she's the only one. I probably hit some during the year that I don't remember. But he didn't he was really honest at the NFR. You could just go every day like that, like at the Olympics. And he just stayed really honest.
Interesting. You went on. I was telling you before we started, I think, because my son trains barrel racing horses and my wife's been a circuit finals rodeo qualifier. I think one of the first ever clinics we ever went to was a Marlene clinic. And you and Martha Josie, I think, were the two clinicians that we had a chance to go to right off the bat. You gave back a lot. You spent 20-25 years of your life teaching, right?
I did. I started teaching in 1984, and I taught clinics while I rodeoed. And so I cut back my rodeo career, and the amount of rodeos I went to and kind of my goals. And I just did 150 days a year of clinics.
Hmm. Wow. How that must have been tough. Was it helpful to you to teach while you were competing? Did you, I remember once upon a time, a gentleman who I thought was a great football coach told me, if you really want to learn a sport, teach it. Was that helpful to you to teach while you were competing?
You know, I really didn't think about it. I know Tom Ferguson told me I was absolutely crazy, that I wasn't doing myself any good, but that was Tom. I learned to articulate, and if I could articulate and tell a human what to do, it probably did help me, you know, understand a horse and be able to communicate with them better.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Marlene McRae will be inducted into the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame July the 13th. As a native of Colorado, does that mean a little extra to you? I am so glad that the WPRA is now part of the Hall of Fame, has been for since 2017, I think is the right date. Talk to me about, just as a Colorado native in particular, I'm guessing there'll be a lot of family and friends there.
Well, there will. I'm an only child, and both of my parents have passed on, but they'll be watching from heaven, but I do wish they were there. But Colorado, born and raised, 50 years living there, it means a lot. I was there when they built the Hall of Fame, and I was there when we convinced them to let the WPRA go into the Hall of Fame. I was on the board of directors at the time of the WPRA.
Yeah.
And it means a lot. And it means a lot that another fellow Coloradoan, J.D. Yates, which I grew up 50 miles away, we rodeoed together. I used all his old ropes. So it'll be fun to have them there, and all the friends that will be there too. The list just keeps getting larger.
I'm curious. You've mentioned a couple of names in that. You talked about Tom Ferguson. You talked about J.D. Yates. You win a world title in 1983. The next year, 1984, that kid from New Mexico, Charmaine James, shows up and starts her winning streak. You rodeoed with a great and historic group of people. I mean, we mentioned three of them right there. Martha Josie was still going. This was a time that must have been interesting to be competing in this sport.
It was strong. You had a lot of great horsemen, is what I'm going to call them. Really great horsemen rodeoing at the time. There wasn't a lot of high dollar bought horses, barrel horses then. You made them and you rode them, and you had some great people around you in other disciplines, you know, like the calf roping, the team roping, the bulldogging. In fact, I probably got as many congratulations from bulldoggers as I did barrel racers. But, you know, you learn from all of them. You learn from those great horsemen, you know, and not just from rodeo people. You know, I spent a lot of time in Calgary, Canada, excuse me. And I was around the trotting horse business.
Don't be darned.
I learned a lot from them, hanging out in the barns, you know, while you're waiting for the next weekend. I met Blaine Schwanevelt, one of the leading racehorse trainers out in California. Learned a lot from him. Howard Beisinger, Vanna's dad, he was a three-time Hamiltonian winner. I go to the AQHA Hall of Fame, and I'm amazed at how many people I crossed paths with and got to hang with and learn from. It's quite an honor.
Yeah, you know, it really is. And you had an opportunity to share that knowledge. And I'm always interested in people who produce clinics and who teach and who put on youth events. And in your case, not only 35 years of clinician opportunities, but published a book called Barrel Racing 101, put out a bunch of videos. There are a lot. I am guessing, Marlene, that there are a lot of barrel racers that we watch even today who benefited from the wisdom and the knowledge that you shared throughout the course of your career.
Well, I hope so. You know, I put a lot of effort into those videos, and I writing that book was brutal. It was very time consuming and didn't realize what an undertaking it would be. I'm glad I did it. And, you know, it was another, teaching was another avenue to give back. You know, rodeo had given so much to me, and I enjoyed helping others. I liked watching them accomplish what their dreams and their goals could be. Yeah. Hopefully I helped them come along the way and made it a little easier for them. Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of, you got to have that full circle of rodeo. So you rodeo, then I did the clinics and I did the books and then you do the endorsements, you know, with saddles and tack. And then we opened up, my husband convinced me to, do a mail order business called World Champion Designs. And we sold then tack to the clinic students and outside of that. So it was a full circle of utilizing everything that rodeo had to offer.
Weren't you one of the first people to come up with your own line of saddles and tack and things like that?
I wasn't the first one. Martha, you know, she's always on the stick there.
Yeah.
You know, she had saddles and others, Connie Combs. What I was first at was the first carbon fiber tree, trying to lighten up the weight of a saddle. Obviously, we know weight is imperative on a racehorse, so why isn't it on a barrel horse? So we lightened up the saddle.
Yeah, that makes sense. I remember that now. You served 2 terms on the board of directors. I'm doing this from memory, Marlene, so correct me if I'm wrong.
That's
fine. Were you a vice president both times of the WPRA? Is that right? Or just a director?
I was a director for the circuit finals.
Okay.
Well, for the Sierra Circuit Finals, California.
Got it.
I was a director out there for 3 years, and then I was took a break for a while, and I came back as the Fraternity Derby director.
Got it. Giving back, I don't know how much you follow rodeo and barrel racing today. We just watched Brittany Posey Tanasi blow away every single earnings record last year in the WPRA in winning a world title. And if you toss all of her futurity and other earnings into it along with that, she had $1.5 million year or something like that. It was an amazing season for Brittany. Y'all helped to build that. Y'all helped to create that through the time that you were competing and giving back.
Well, I hope we did. You know, it would have been nice to have been a part of that type of added money, but, you know, it wasn't in the books at that point. I mean, when I started, we were only 50% of the Cowboys and of their added money. But I don't know how we impacted that. You know, we from the board of directors and as a competitor, you know, we wanted better and safer ground conditions. And that has been a long time coming till we finally got that tractor rake after 5 or 6 horses during a performance.
Yeah.
And that just happened last year. I mean, how many years has that been that we've been campaigning for that to happen? So it's kind of a slow boat to China, as they say, to get a lot of things changed in the rodeo industry, but we're close. We're getting there. Now we're working on a new advanced timer that times every height of a horse. I mean, it's phenomenal.
Yeah. On the nose system is what it's called, right?
It's by a nose.
Yeah, by a nose. By a nose. Yeah, and that's, I've actually got to do a podcast about that sometime because I think it's really interesting to see what with all the money that's at stake, I guess it's really important that everything we do be as accurate as it possibly can at this point.
Absolutely. You know, when you're timed to 1/100 of a second, and we'd like to see it go to 1/1000 of a second, because we have that many caliber of horses that are on the same level. And this is capable of doing that. It's just getting the scoreboards, getting the rodeo secretaries, getting the judges, everyone on board, but it'll happen. Yeah. It just, I hope it doesn't take as long as it took to get added money or to get a drag, but it'll happen.
When you were competing, you had Dutch, Charmaine had Scamper, Christy had Bozo. Tell me if what I'm about to say is right or if it's totally incorrect. It seems to me like in that era, more people had one horse that they relied on. And I say that, and then I think of, okay, yeah, Jordan's got Rolo, Haley's got Sister. So has any of that really changed today, or has it not?
No, you still have that mainframe, you know, that main man or girl. It's still that way. You know, it's those great ones are really far and few between.
Yeah. They used to say that you'd get one. I don't know that that's totally true. I think you had more than one, but they used to say that you'd get one.
I know they used to. And I had one before Dutch that was great in high school rodeo and open rodeo. And that's about the time the Denver Stars came around, the team rodeo, and I used him there. He was as good as Dutch. Yeah. So I was very fortunate to ride and be around great horsemen like Sonny Jim or Margaret Hammond, Charlene Morgan. They were all within 50 miles of me.
Hmm.
And so I had the opportunity to go ride with them and learn from them. And then I had the greatest vet in the business, Dr. Marvin Beeman from Littleton Large Animal, and a great horseman, a polo player. And he really advanced my career in helping me keep these athletes sound.
You know, it's interesting. I asked about all the people that you helped, and you just answered a question that I probably should have asked long ago, which is, who helped you? Who helped to make Marlene McRae a world champion?
Yeah, well, my mom and dad, first of all.
Yeah.
You know, just making it possible, hauling me to these people to help me. My dad had a great eye for a balanced horse and for an athlete. And so he, you know, would help me buy a prospect. And then I would train it. But, you know, without them, I wouldn't be where I am today. And then there were great horsemen in that Colorado area that were phenomenal. And they were at my fingertips. And my mom made sure she hauled me to them when I needed help.
Last question before I let you go. You've had a couple of days, and I know there's a lot going on, you know, in your life, and the Hall of Fame inductions are in July, but you've had a couple of days to kind of let this sink in that you're about to be inducted into the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame. Have you thought about what you're going to say? Have you thought that far ahead yet?
You know, that's rolled through my head for a few nights, and I think a lot of it is, you know, I guess I have a question, you know, do I tell him about Dutch Watch, you know, and what a career he had before barrel racing, which I think is a little bit interesting, but maybe not. I don't think I need to spend much time on it. But more than anything, I think it's that group of people that it takes to help you. I mean, it is a huge family. Like I said, I mentioned Dr. Marvin Beeman, the Farriers. There was only three people that ever shod Dutch, one of them being Charmaine's uncle. And and then my husband, and who was, I'm trying to think who the first one, oh, Tad Thatcher out in Idaho. But yeah, you just, you know, he was rough to be around, like I said, and you had to have individuals of that caliber that understood that type of horse. And, you know, he was 8 years old before he ever had his teeth floated. And the first person to do it was Dr. Beeman.
Wow. You know, that's kind of, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't say this, but I guess that's a little bit unheard of today that, you know,
I always had my horse's teeth floated from the time they were 2 years of age, but I didn't own him at two, but I know when I bought him, he'd never had them done.
I'll be darned. You know, it's interesting. I through the years, you had your first NFR appearance was 1983 in Oklahoma City. Your last one was 2000 in Las Vegas. So there was a lot that changed, not just the venue, but the growth of the NFR at the beginning. Today, if you talk to any timed event contestant in particular, whether it's a barrel racer, roper, or bulldogger, they'll talk about how you've really almost got to have a village out there with you in Vegas when you qualify for the NFR. You got to have somebody to kind of keep an eye on the horses because your time is going to have so many autograph signings and things like that. Did you have a chance to see some of that progression when you were competing at the National Finals Rodeo, when you were winning in 83, when you were going to Vegas in 2000, where those time demands were at least starting to take hold?
Yeah, you had not as many autograph sessions. You know, they didn't demand quite as much time as they do now of you each day. But there were all the activities that you went to, and you had to have that village with you. You couldn't do it on your own.
Yeah, well, and you certainly can't today, that's for darn sure. Marlene, congratulations on such a well-deserved induction into the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame. I really appreciate your time. And thank you for all that you gave back. I think that, you know, we can talk about the great career in the arena, but when I think of you, I think about all that you did outside the arena and all that you gave back to so many individuals. And I think that's awfully important too. I don't know if one's more important than the other. The in the arena made the outside the arena stuff possible, I suppose. But thank you for all that you gave back for all those years.
You're welcome. And thank you for saying that. I appreciate it.
Marlene McRae will be inducted into the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame along with Gina Day, the two representatives of the WPRA. Gina was a world champion in 1974. Did your paths ever cross?
No, they didn't. You know, I met her, I can't remember when I met Gina, but not rodeoing.
Huh. Interesting. Well, it's going to be a great day for all of you, and I just hope you enjoy the heck out of it, and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it.
Marlene McRae, the 1983 World Champion Barrel Racer and 2024 Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame inductee. You can read a lot more about Marlene and Gina Day and go to the WPRA's website. Ann Bleicher's got a great story. You can go to prorodeo.com and get the story on all of this year's inductees as well. And we will, over the next couple of weeks on the Legends of the Hall podcast and on the Steve Kenyon podcast, pay a lot more attention to this year's class of inductees to the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame. What a great opportunity and some great stories to tell for each and every one of those inductees. Thank you for joining us for the Steve Kenyon podcast. You can check out the video of our interviews if you go to our 8 Seconds Media YouTube channel. Thanks to Wrangler, long live Cowboys, to the Justin Boot Company, the standard of the West since 1879. To Resist All, we wear it every day. To Equinity, it's all about the horse. To Preferred, to Unbeatable Feeds, online at unbeatablefeeds.com. To M2 Ranch Jerky, the Grandview at Las Vegas. To Classic Equine and Classic Ropes, to the Gooding Pro Rodeo, August 14th through 17th in Gooding, Idaho, goodingprorodeo.com. God bless everybody. Join us again next week, and please check out all of our programming on our 8 Seconds Media Facebook page and social media channels. We've got some big news to make next week. I'll tell you about it next week when we do this all over again. Thanks for listening to the Steve Kenyon Podcast.